This is Will's Band of the Week for April 16th, 2012. Hello and welcome to another edition of Will's Band of the Week. This is Will, along with Barrett, live in studio.
Hey, Will.
Live in Fourth Bedroom Studios, and this is quite a facility we've got here, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah, it even has...
We don't describe it very often, but...
It has Alaskan IPA.
Two beers lined up.
Beer of the week.
And a computer
and
all that, but then we've got curtains and blinds, you got a bookshelf, some art.
Yep.
Family pictures, a few CDs.
Yep, and my
some Betamax tapes up there.
My tax.
You have to explain those.
I will in a moment. Well, that could take a little more explanation. We might have to do those Betamax. Talk about those later. But I All wanted right. to mention that my 2011 taxes folder is no longer on this desk.
Because
this weekend I finally finished my taxes.
Yeah, that's good. I saw that you put a notice out on Facebook.
It was a little late in the game, but. Right, because I did them on TurboTax, and when I got to the end, it's just ridiculous, right? You're doing your taxes, and it puts a little share on Facebook button on there. Like, and I thought it was so ridiculous that I said, okay, I'm going to do it just because it's ridiculous, right? And it said, share your tax triumph with your friends. Tax triumph.
Weren't you a little bit like, wait a minute, what is this going to put out there on Facebook?
Yeah.
Here's my income, here's my Social Security.
Right, my whole tax form is probably on Facebook now. I'll just delete it when I figure out what actually happened. Yeah, my wife really, she's kind of uncomfortable with Facebook because she doesn't feel like she's got control over exactly like what's going on.
Right.
Right, because, you know, the it's a little confusing even when you try to control it, I think.
Right.
You know. And, okay, so let's give the contact information. You can contact this podcast by sending an email to willsband@yahoo.com or by posting a comment on the website, willsband.net. You can also go to the Twitter account or the Facebook page, which are the... We like to call that the social media.
Yeah.
That's because it's what it is, right?
Yep.
And what else can they do? Well, subscribe on iTunes or get it on the Stitcher app if you'd prefer to do that. Did I cover everything now?
I think so.
We didn't get a P.O. box yet.
We have a Pinterest page.
The Pinterest page?
We didn't get our P.O. box in Brooklyn yet, but we're going to try to do that.
Do you think we could get like a Brooklyn P.O. box? This like a, you know, like a fake Brooklyn P.O. box where it really just gets forwarded, you know, kind of like a web page that redirects.
Yeah, you know? Maybe, right?
We could just get a Brooklyn P.O. box and then have it automatically forward.
Right.
That wouldn't be that hard. You could just forward
like
to one of our houses.
Just like if we go on vacation.
Yeah, just permanent forwarding.
Move, yeah.
Yeah, that's what we should probably do.
But we shouldn't tell everybody that that's what we're doing.
Yeah. We could just edit this
part out. We should tell everybody that we're going to move to... Hey, let's move to Brooklyn, and they can contact us by sending something to our new
PO box. Yeah, that's what we should do. You know, if we moved to Brooklyn, our listenership would go up. It would just be like 10 times in like a week, right?
Right.
Because our cred would just go completely... Right now, we're just like these Midwestern dorks, right?
Doofuses,
we might as well, yeah. Yeah, we might as well be like in Kansas or Nebraska or Iowa or just anywhere, right?
Yeah. But if we were there, we could like take our mics out on the street.
Yeah,
just hold the microphone out, and you'd be probably hearing bands rehearsing
in
their lofts and stuff.
Right. They could be recording, and we could get like a little taste of the recording of the next Interpol album or something.
Yeah,
yeah.
So that's what we're gonna do. Moving to taking this show on the road. We'll tell the wives about it after we've already secured the P.O. box, and then it'll be too late to back out of it, you know? You can't get out of a commitment like
that.
We're
going to have to do it, right? We're true to our word.
Right.
You know, there's a podcast that my wife was listening to, and it was one of these podcasts by comedians, you know? And she was starting to kind of get into it. And then I noticed that they were doing a live podcast in Madison. and or even, it might not even
be Nerdist.
It was the Nerdist, right? Now, I guess it wasn't a live podcast, right? It was just like the comic coming to Madison, but they called it Nerdist Live. So I said, hey, why don't you go to that? She said, yeah, that'd be great. That'd be fun. So, of course, the morning of, we decided to try to buy tickets and found out it had been sold out for like a long time. So
yeah.
These other podcasters, they can sell out live performances.
So
maybe we should do the same thing.
Yeah.
We should just go on tour. You know what we should do? Like, go to all the music festivals and do like live podcasts, like in a tent or something.
That's a good idea.
Right? We could be at Lollapalooza.
You could buy a booth.
Yeah. We missed Coachella, right? That's going on right now. I was just looking. They had a live feed, and I was looking at it earlier this evening, and Wild Flag was playing. It was a really good live feed. Like, the quality of the video was great. So I think the technology is getting better on that stuff.
Yeah.
It was pretty cool. It looked like there were a lot of people there.
Right.
As one might expect.
Yeah.
Is that somewhere by Los Angeles? It's in California.
It's like it's in the desert east of LA, like by Palm Springs and stuff. The Coachella Valley.
This is a thing where, you know, what if your kids move out and you're a little older, you know, you could maybe go there, except that then when you're that age, why would you want to go stand in a crowd of 20,000 people?
Right.
So that's a little predicament, right?
Yeah. I think probably not that many guys like us there.
Yeah.
Younger people, and the guys that are like us would be, you know, from the area.
Yeah, if you were already
for the
there.
Most part.
Yeah, right. So, well, I'm still thinking that some year we should go to South by Southwest, though, just because I've never been there.
Right.
And you could kind of, I think you could sort of pace it your own way, right? You wouldn't have to, like, pack into all the venues that are packed. You could just kind of roam up and down the streets and then find venues that you know, aren't packed like sardines, right?
Right. Do the performers get, like, a free pass?
You mean like if we were performers?
Yeah.
Could we get a free pass?
You're thinking one step ahead of me here, but
it's a very good point, yeah. So we should be podcasting live from South by Southwest.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was thinking
Do those NPR guys, do the NPR guys get in free?
Well, they're, you know, NPR will pay for their entries.
So they actually have to pay?
But, you know, like we could have the company pay for our entries, but there is no company.
That's the problem. We have
that
to
would
have
be
a company.
Just like you would have to pay for them.
We need, you know what we need? We need like a rich benefactor. Like
we do.
Like that guy who financed the band Girls. Remember that? They got a rich benefactor.
So, well, we could even have a corporate sponsor. It can be the, you know, the Lucky Strikes Will's Band of the Week podcast.
I was thinking more on the lines of Alaskan Brewing Company, maybe.
Yeah, they could
do
it.
Maybe they would do it, yeah. I mean, anybody who's ever been mentioned on this podcast, that you'd think they'd be grateful enough that they'd probably want to start sponsoring us.
Marshall Amp Fridges.
Yes.
Band of the Week podcast.
Right. I don't know if you listened, but when Grant and I recorded a podcast last week, we were talking about Jim Marshall from Marshall Amps, who just recently died.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you had a refrigerator named after your product, don't you think you might just think that's, like, I have reached the mountaintop, right?
What else can you do?
Right. So I'm thinking he may have just felt like that was it. He had reached like the biggest accomplishment he could ever reach and you know, died feeling very satisfied probably.
Right.
Yeah. Except the thing it's still not out yet. So it's in, but they've obviously produced a prototype, right? Because they made that video.
Right.
So it's supposed to come out in October. So.
Yeah.
It
seems like they maybe should have sat on the news for a little while. You know?
Yeah, I wonder what the strategy was in announcing it, you know, that far in advance of availability. Yeah.
Maybe they're aiming this early stuff at, you know, retailers, trying to get them, you know.
I wonder if, like, Guitar Center will have Marshall fridges.
Probably, right? They should.
Yeah, you could see them having, like,
sell them on the website.
Yeah. Lots of marketing possibilities.
Mm-hmm.
So there's music news. You know what it is?
I think I do.
They announced the Lollapalooza lineup. And I was thinking, okay, you know, is that really music news? And I thought about it and I decided, yes, it is.
Okay.
Because, you know, Lollapalooza, is, I mean, maybe it's not bigger than a lot of other festivals, but they, you know how many people they got last year? 270,000 people for the 3 days, you know, so
wow.
That's total attendance. Some people attending on multiple days, so it's not that many people total, but, you know, that means average 90,000 a day.
Right.
That's a lot of people.
Yeah.
So, and I think Lollapalooza is kind of a reflection of the state of music in some respects. So I think it's interesting to see who they get, who they feature. And so I jotted down a few things that I thought were interesting about it. The headliners are the Red Hot Chili Peppers, the Black Keys, Black Sabbath, and Jack White. Okay, so Black
I'll
Keys
give, yeah.
and Jack White, those are kind of obvious.
Overall, like, big names. I'll give the headliners a C minus.
Well, I don't know if you're going the same place with that as I am, but I have never liked the Red Hot Chili Peppers.
They're horrible.
They're a bad band,
I,
right?
I hate them like a lot.
Yeah. Good. We're on the same page on that. I mean, I find them kind of annoying.
Right.
You know? I don't even think I've ever liked a single song by them.
They had, yeah, I mean, more recent, like, their early stuff is completely unlistenable. That funky,
yeah,
frenetic, just horrible garbage.
Right.
Then they had some of those mellower pop songs and stuff that were
yeah.
kind of palatable for radio, but...
But they weren't that good.
I
You're right, they weren't as annoying.
Like
but
them.
Yeah, me either. And Black Sabbath, you know... Okay, I have kind of a soft spot for Black Sabbath. I've always thought that kind of in me, almost like a humor factor. Part of it's a humor factor, but you know, it's still an odd thing, right?
Yeah.
Because Black Sabbath should be at the you know the Warped tour or whatever you know that metal
right.
tour is.
Like I have a soft spot, and I think another band is kind of funny, and it would be sort of fun to see. It'd be like Journey, you know, but they don't belong there.
Yeah, it's a little bit odd, but you like know they've had Lady Gaga there, and they've had you know they need to have big names regardless of genre or you know who the audience is. I think, and that leads me to the next category, bands that I had never heard of. There's some band, and these are bands that are like toward the top of their list.
Okay.
Right? And you know how they list it? If you go to Lollapalooza.com.
Yeah, it's like big and then medium
right.
and then
and they,
getting smaller.
The letters are bigger, right? The bigger the perceived whatever. Bigger their position on the bill, the bigger the lettering is. At the Drive-In. Do you know what that is?
I've heard that name. I don't know what it is, though.
I mean, and that's like one of the almost headliners. And then somebody called Bass Nectar. And
yeah,
I asked my son about Bass Nectar, and he had heard of them, but I think it's some kind of electronic thing. And then there's something called Avicii, or it's spelled A-V-I-C-I-I, and that's like toward the top.
Yeah, I don't know what that is.
See, yet. We're not totally in touch, are we? And then I thought, Grant agreed with me, it seemed like a little weak, the lineup, compared to the last couple
yeah,
of years.
I looked at the whole thing, and I was... underwhelmed.
The bands that I thought that I would see were The Shins, Sigur Rós, The Tallest Man on Earth, Walkmen, Metric, Tame Impala, Dum Dum Girls, Chairlift, The War on Drugs, and First Aid Kit. Now, if all of them were the same day, that'd be really great, you know?
Yeah.
But spread across 3 days, I don't know. And here's the Does Anyone Care category. Block Party and Franz Ferdinand.
I'd go see both of them.
Would you? I mean,
yeah.
I you know, the thing is though that these are bands that were popular like 6 or 7 years ago,
sure,
and then kind of fizzled, and then so it just makes me wonder, like, shouldn't they, before they're going to be featured at Lollapalooza, shouldn't they at least like come out with a new album that is like not too bad? Or can they just, they're just going to be like they're already like retro, right?
Yeah.
I
think
know.
Franz Ferdinand would be pretty great to see.
Maybe they would.
But
I just wonder.
No, I'd be like, if you have like one of these jam fest, jam band things, and you have the Allman Brothers.
Yeah.
And they haven't done anything in, you know, 35
yeah,
years.
That's true.
Worth noting. So
I guess I just haven't applied that concept to bands that first made it on the scene in the mid-2000s.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So And then, okay, here's another category. This is what I called a ton of bands I've never heard of. So I didn't list them.
Yeah.
There's a ton of bands that I've never heard of.
Yeah.
If you look at the list, probably more than half, I've never heard of them.
Yeah.
So it's almost like maybe it's always this way because they just have so many bands, but it just seemed more that way this year. And it's kind of like we've talked about this before. Bands who have been reviewed on Pitchfork, right? And they have so many reviews. They have, you know, over 200 albums a year that they review, right? No, more than that. How do we calculate that?
Well, they have 25
a week.
25 a week.
100 a month. So they have over 1,000, right? Every year. Even if you figure those weeks off and stuff. They have 1,000 bands. And so, you know, that's pretty cool when you can say, you know, we got a 7.7 on Pitchfork, right? But there are so many of them in it. So this is like, hey, we played at Lollapalooza. You know, yeah, we were the band with the print so small that you can't read it playing on stage 27 at 11:30 in the morning on Friday.
Right.
Right? And there were like 53 people watching us.
Right.
And it was pretty cool. But, you know, where does that get you? I don't know. I guess that's not really a criticism of anything, really. It just seems like it's just, you know, they do need to spread it out because you have that many people. That in fact, when Grant and I went 2 years ago, it was kind of nice to have some band that you liked that wasn't the headlining band, so you could go see them and, you know, get actually at a reasonable distance from the stage, you know. So that's what I was saying, that the best thing about the Red Hot Chili Peppers playing there is that they will make all the people, the other people, go over to that stage so that you can go see something else.
Right? Yeah.
That's the strategy.
That's a good way to look at it.
So, okay, that's it.
The other thing, we had a kind of a bedside vigil for one of the Bee Gees. And I just looked at Twitter before I came in, you know, to the studio, and he's still alive. Is it Robin? It's Robin.
Robin Gibb. Yeah.
Robin is the one with the vibrato. Right?
But not the right, the vibrato, and he wasn't the main singer of the Saturday Night Fever stuff. That was Barry.
Yeah, that was
right?
Barry. So like in the mid
70s. But Robin, the hits that were actually really good. A lot of those were sung by Robin, right?
Yep. Yeah, like they're everything pre, you know what? Pre-1976, like all those.
How can you mend a broken heart?
Yeah, and
right?
Massachusetts and all the stuff from Odessa that Chris and I really like.
Oh yeah, I remember you telling me about that.
He's the featured singer there, and then during the disco era, his brother became, you know, kind of the main voice. But one of the other brothers, Maurice, he has already died.
Right,
and so did so did
Andy Gibb.
Andy,
right. Now, he wasn't in the Bee Gees, was
no.
he? Andy, he was a younger brother, but he became a teen idol.
Yeah.
Right? I had a neighbor.
You know that song, Blood is Thicker Than Water? I would sing it, but I'm not gonna.
I had a neighbor girl who had a crush on Andy Gibb, which isn't surprising because probably everybody had a neighbor girl who had a crush on Andy Gibb.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, all right, well, we'll update you on that, but as we record this, apparently, Robin Gibb is in a coma, right? And he's pretty gravely ill.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
One more thing. I read that, you know, the 2012 Olympics are going to be in London, right?
Yep.
The organizers are looking to kind of fill in some, you know, they've got a lot of entertainment in the opening ceremonies and stuff like that. So, they were still trying to do some of the programming for that. They sent a message to Keith Moon's manager asking if he might like to participate.
They did.
Yeah. And the manager's like, he's been dead since 1978.
Did they think he was going to like come and play a drum solo or something?
Like he'd be involved. They're like, let's think of prominent British rockers, British musicians.
Oh man.
How about that guy from The Who?
Yeah.
He's cool.
What if they invited John Bonham, too?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
They probably did.
Wow.
So, yeah.
That was going to be the rock and roll heaven performance.
Yeah.
Yep.
So, apparently they're not all that up on their poo.
Yeah. Well, you know, Olympic people, they're not up on their rock and roll, you know?
No, these are sports all the time, focused. Like, lifting weights and...
Right. Exactly.
Doing sit-ups and stuff.
There was one other thing. This isn't really music news. It's just citing an article that I thought was interesting. NME put out a list of the 100 best tracks of the 70s. And
wow.
Stereo Gum, the website Stereo Gum, listed it. So I guess that's not plagiarism, right? Because they're just listing it.
Sure.
Although it's kind of, I don't know. It's kind of
well, that's what all
it.
These blog aggregate things like Huffington Post.
Well, we
does that.
I read it from Stereo Gum, and I'm assuming that they probably had like a more detailed article in NME, right? But this is just the list. But so I look at this and I thought, okay, this could be really bad, but I don't know. They made a reasonable effort at it. The best song of the 70s was God Save the Queen by the Sex Pistols. Number
That's
two.
A very good song,
yeah.
But really? Number one?
Hmm. Yeah, but you know, you start going through this and you think, well, something has to be number one. Fleetwood Mac, Go Your Own Way is number two. That's and then London Calling is number three. I just think it's so hard to do this that, you know, there's a lot of Blitzkrieg Bop by the Ramones is number five. And Born to Run is number eight. Now, what is
David
this?
Bowie's Heroes is number four. That's not even his fourth best song
well,
in the 70s.
They've done that with a lot of artists where they pick,
that's
like,
dumb.
Well, what is this? Michael Jackson, Don't Stop Till You Get Enough? I don't even know what that is.
Oh, you serious?
Oh, wait, I'm thinking about it now. I think I know what that
is. Yeah.
But why would that
like
be?
That was like the lead single on Off the Wall. But yeah, that's too high.
Band on the Run,
that's
Comfortably
great.
Numb.
Yeah,
you know, these are some pretty good songs. Transmission.
Stevie Wonder, Superstition, number 15.
They picked Transmission by Joy Division. Highway to Hell. You know, there's some pretty good stuff there. So it's kind of fun to read. So look it up.
Wait, what was that Buzzcocks song there? Ever Fallen in Love. That's their second best one. That's not too
well,
bad.
They didn't have you consulting, you know. Well, look at this. XTC, Making Plans for Nigel. I mean, I don't even know if I know that.
That's a good one. We're only making plans for Nigel. It's on...
I've probably heard it.
I don't even know what it's on. English
well,
Settlement.
And how do they decide what... well, the only Beatles songs from the 70s were on Abbey Road, right? So they have The Long and Winding Road on there. No, that's not on Abbey Road. That's on Let
that's
It
on
Be.
That's on Let It Be.
Yeah. So Let It Be and Abbey Road were in the 70s. Is that right?
Both in... 1970.
Okay. They barely did it. They put out a couple in 1970 because they knew that 42 years later, somebody would put out a list and they'd want to have a couple things on the 70s list.
Yeah.
Right? So, yeah, anyway, I don't know. I think sometimes these lists are kind of fun to read. As long as, you know, they made a reasonable effort. I think they made a reasonable effort. I'm not going to complain.
Exactly.
So,
I mean, you do something like that. And then you have a couple of knuckleheads like us, like, that's not correct.
Yeah, no way, that's too high. No, it's too low.
Yeah. Whatever. Good work.
So we've got some music this week, right?
Yeah.
I got to say, I'm kind of excited about this one. I really like this band, The Wedding Present. And I've kind of liked The Wedding Present for a long time. And basically, I think The Wedding Present is... this guy, David Gedge, with like different musicians as part of his band, right? I don't think the rest of the band is the same as it was like a long time ago. I don't know how long they've had the same lineup. But what I think is really interesting is that they've maintained a sound, and they're very distinctive because of his voice, and that will always make, it will tie everything together, right?
Right.
But I think the band sounds like totally in character for them too. I think they still sound like they really they capture the essence of what The Wedding Present should sound like.
Yeah.
And
so got that fast guitar thing.
Kind of edgy and it's kind of poppy with a little you know, just it's a distinctive sound. So we'll play some. Now you're familiar with The Wedding Present, right?
Yeah.
The album that I, it's interesting, the first album that I listened to significantly was actually a compilation album called Hit Parade, or I think there was a Hit Parade 1 and a Hit Parade 2. Mm-hmm. And this was like in the early 90s, and they released, it was one of those things where they did like a single every month out of the year, and then it got to the end of the year, and then they put them all the singles on an album.
Yeah.
I think it was something like that. And I thought it was really good.
They were really a singles band. That was kind of their thing.
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense. Yeah.
You know?
Yep. So the new album is called Valentina. And I think it's fun. And I also think it's cool that, you know, what do you think, David Gedge? He's like probably our age, right? Roughly?
He could be a little bit older.
I guess we better look it up now. It would be irresponsible for us to not have this information, right?
Yeah, we got to know this.
David Gedge, in a week, is going to turn 51. So, yeah, he's pretty much my age.
And he's still rocking.
Absolutely, which is a good thing, right?
Yeah, he's an inspiration to old guys like us. And I know a lot of our listeners are also kind of old dudes.
Yeah, but if they are, they're cool.
They are cool.
The wedding present. Okay, I'm going to start with one that I think is just, you hear this and you say to yourself, that is the wedding present. This is called You, Jane.
That was my first pick, too. I thought that was the best of the songs. And, you know, like you said, that just sounds like the wedding present.
It's the one you hear and you're like, yeah.
Yeah.
Trademark sound right there.
Yep.
So, yeah, pretty fun. So, yeah. Okay, so I stole your track. Do you have another one?
I've got a couple more. I'm going to pick one called Deer Caught in the Headlights.
Yeah. Yep, it's rocking.
Yep, I think one of the things about him that I really like is the lyrics are always they're well written and literate, but usually about kind of simple things. I mean, just like,
right. Oh yeah,
like boy meets girl and blah blah blah.
Right,
but always cleverly written and picking out clever things about the relationships to highlight in a song.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, that's probably the theme.
They're never sappy, and they're always just kind of, you know, I don't know, interesting.
Yeah, there's
so
little...
in this case, he's, you know, comparing, you know, looking at her with, you know, when that happens, he's like a deer caught in the headlights. And
yeah. Yeah, there's...
And that's some kind of a genius observation, but...
Right.
It's always something different.
And he doesn't take himself too seriously, and there's always a little humor mixed in there, too.
Yeah.
So that's good. Yeah, okay, so I've got another pick. It is The Girl from the DDR. That's The Wedding Present.
Yep. One interesting thing about The Wedding Present, the longtime bassist, not the original one, but one that was with him, I think you did that thing called Cinerama. Remember that?
Yeah.
So like late original Wedding Present through that, and then until recently, his bass player was Terry DeCastro, and she lived on my floor in Og Hall.
Really?
In Madison, yeah. In,
wow, that's a cool trivia thing.
Yeah, in 1986.
Did you know her?
Well, my friend Doug knew her really well. And he told me, you know, about this maybe 5 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, oh, let me see. God, I think I remember who that is. And then I saw a picture of her. And then I was like, I kind of think, I'm still not sure.
Mm-hmm.
But
wow.
It's confirmed that she lived there. And
wow.
Very, very likely that I actually saw her at one point or another.
So there's a Madison connection to the Wedding Present.
Yeah.
That's very cool. Just like Steve Albini living in my dorm. See? Yeah, we got brushes with rock and roll greatness,
exactly.
Right? Yeah.
For like Bruce Springsteen being my dad's high school friend.
That's right.
Does that sound real?
Oh, yeah.
I kind of screwed up the delivery on that.
Yeah, well, your wife went to high school with the governor.
She did go to high school with Scott Walker.
Yeah. Not the singer. The governor of Wisconsin.
Yeah.
Which will, since we don't make comments about politics, we will refrain from any further comment, correct?
Okay.
All right.
Longtime listeners know where we stand on that.
I think they do, yeah. So, where do we stand on the Wedding Present? Anything else we want to play, or have we represented the album?
I think we did represent it. And one thing I did want to do was to play my favorite Wedding Present song, an old one. But I got a new phone and like came home and synced it up with my computer and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And it didn't put that song back on there.
We could probably get it from Spotify, right?
It's not on Spotify. It's the album George Best.
It's not on
Maybe
Spotify.
Maybe I'm wrong. Check it
Let's
out.
Check.
Maybe you can find it.
They've got not only George Best, they have George Best Plus.
Oh, look at that.
On Spotify.
Yeah. Well, it's the first song. Everyone thinks he looks daft. This is one of my favorite songs of the 80s.
Let's play this. The Wedding Present, going back apparently to 1987, according to this.
Oh, why do you catch my eye then turn away? Said all the things we had to say. Sean said he saw you holding hands with your new friend. How does it feel to know you just won again? Don't give me that, 'cause you were seen. Everyone thinks he looks daft, but you can have your dream. Can I keep that book of yours and maybe this one too? Sure, I'll bring them round tomorrow, if that will do. Was it really full? They must have queued there since 3:30. I didn't go. Was it a good film? Oh, well, that's just me. Don't give me that, 'cause you were seen. Everyone thinks he looks back, but you can have your dream.
I don't think I've ever heard that album. That is really good. That's a great song.
That's a great song. It's the best album cover ever, too. It's got a picture of this Northern Irish soccer player, football player, whatever you want to call it.
Mm-hmm.
He just looks like Cat Stevens. He's wearing a red jersey. It's all full of mud. Can you imagine like some American band calling an album like Paul Horning?
And yeah. Got yeah.
Yeah.
That's good.
That's cool.
Yeah. I have to go back really and listen album. To that. Yeah. And it's interesting because the recording, of course, sounds like it's got all that reverb on it. It sounds, you know, pretty 80s. But when you think about it, the whole like style of the band is still kind of similar.
Yeah, you very know? Much so.
Yeah.
And that was 25 years ago, so he was 25.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Half his age.
Yeah.
David Gedge. He's always a favorite of John Peel.
You know? Yeah, they did John Peel sessions.
Yeah, he always said he was one of his faves.
Yeah, very cool. John Peel's not alive anymore, is he?
No, he died like 2 years ago or less.
Yeah.
It seems like. So.
All right, there you go, The Wedding Present. Recommended.
Yes. I'd recommend that you start with George Best.
You could do that, but I, you know, I
start
think
with the new one,
and I, you know,
that's what you're gonna say.
I think no, I think their catalog is pretty good.
It's, yeah.
And so start with anything you want because
yeah, that's true.
There's a lot of good stuff out there by The Wedding Present. So,
oh, I just got a text from my dad. Because he asked me to send them a message when I got back to Madison. We were up in Green Bay this weekend.
I thought you'd be asking, like, when is the podcast going to be released?
Nope. He's noting that it's really windy there.
There's a lot of scattered thunderstorms going on.
Yeah. We were driving back. We drove... I just got into town right before I came to the studio. And it was super windy. But on the way back, we were hungry. We stopped at... you know the town Columbus? It's a little bit east of... Have you ever been there?
Yeah, I've been, yeah.
There's a supper club there called Capri.
Never been there.
This is the best place of all time. We walked
Have
in
you
there.
Been there before? You just stumble
no,
upon
we
it.
Just looked, we were just like, oh, we're starving.
It sounds better
so
than
I looked,
like...
I looked on, you know, like online trying to find stuff.
Yeah.
And it got really good reviews. And we walked in and it was like walking back into the mid-60s, right?
Yeah, supper club makes it sound
total supper club. They're actually playing the whole time we were there. They were playing Herb Alpert.
Wow.
Yeah, and then you know you order your food and they bring you out the relish tray with the carrots and the radishes and the breadsticks.
Oh yeah,
and the cheese
that's supper
dip
club
and stuff.
Classic. Yeah,
yeah, and then every meal you get comes with you know the salad and the soup and the, this all kinds of stuff. It was incredible. So,
wow,
the Capri.
That's very cool.
So yeah,
cool.
We went there, and I did want to mention that at some point on this podcast. So my dad's little text to me was a nice little segue. So let's get back to business.
Good. Here. We're going to get back to business, but first we're gonna stop the recording and save it because the screen is doing funny things. I don't want to lose the podcast. So
okay.
We'll be back right after we save this file. Okay, I think we haven't lost the whole podcast, like that one fateful podcast.
Yeah.
Remember the shock when suddenly the whole screen was gone?
Yeah, that was bad.
That was sad.
That's like
sad moment.
You've got your whole doctoral thesis on there.
We gave
up, and it, phew,
I
gone.
Think we gave 110% in that podcast too.
We did,
and then
well,
it was
we
gone.
Always do.
That's true.
But that was
yeah, it
that
was sad.
Some real gold there.
Yep. It'll never be found again. So, I thought I would just mention, we can do the little quicker mention on this one. But, you know how there are bands that, they make some pretty good music, and they come out with albums, and they struggle to come up with the money to record the album, and then they try to get people to pay attention, and this is one of those bands, I think, like, they're a pretty talented band, but just people won't really pay attention to them. So, I thought I would give them a little mention here and play a little bit of their music and see if anybody else thinks it's actually pretty good. It's the band Margot and the Nuclear So-and-Sos. So I was going to mention, first of all, that The Wedding Present is like one of the coolest names ever for a band, I think. There's just something just totally cool about that name, right? And Margot and the Nuclear So-and-Sos is like just terrible name for a band, right? They should probably like...
That's not good.
Yeah, they should change their name to like something formerly known as Margot and the Nuclear So-and-Sos, right?
Yeah, it's probably kind of late. I think they're stuck with it.
But it's primarily, I think, led by this one guy named Richard Edwards. So they've got like a lot of people in the band, but I think this guy Richard Edwards is the main guy. The singer writes most of the stuff, and they're from Indianapolis, Indiana. So they're a Midwestern band.
Yeah, that's
right.
Cool.
And they've been putting out albums, and I think they're pretty talented. And I think kind of a lot the same about this album as the last one, which is I still think they're better when they do the slower to mid-tempo, and they throw in some kind of grungy stuff, and that stuff takes me a little bit longer to adjust to, and I end up still kind of liking it. So the latest album that they just came out with recently is called Rot Gut Domestic. How's that for an album title?
Yeah, I'm not sure.
I'm not sure either.
I think I put that in the same category as their band name.
Yeah, maybe that hurts their audience potential. I don't know. So I want to play a couple things. This one is called Prozac Rock. Margo and the Nuclear So-and-Sos.
Prozac Rock.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You've never heard a song by that title before, have you?
No.
Yeah.
We saw them at the Union one time.
Right. Yeah, it was Halloween, and they were all dressed in like these crazy costumes, remember?
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah. And we sat behind the stage.
Yeah. Remember so that? It's hard to tell, but I think it was good.
Yeah. Here's another one. It's called Coonskin Cap.
Coonskin cap.
You know what that sounds like? It sounds like Josh Rouse.
Yeah, it could be a little bit.
Yeah, it's like Josh Rouse got a band behind him.
Sometimes I think his voice reminds me of the singer for Not a Surf, Matthew Cause.
Yeah,
there's a little bit of that too. And I've got one more thing I want to play, and this is the concept that you see a lot: the piano ballad that ends the album, right?
Yeah,
you've heard that a lot, right? So a lot of bands do this. And it kind of backfires, right? Like, I think on the... Remember the Vaccines album that we all liked a lot?
Mm-hmm.
You know, the very last song was some kind of piano thing. It was like, just didn't really fit, you know? And I think that one kind of backfired. But this album has a piano ballad at the end, and it's really good. So, it's the piano ballad of the year so far.
All right. Wow, okay.
So, it's
hard early, but that's a pretty good,
that's right.
good place to be.
So, it's kind of hard to pull off a piano ballad, I think, you know? It's a bold thing to do. So, yeah, this one is called Christ.
Jesus breaks your heart every night when he doesn't come. All got nothing in my bag for you, but fire from the sky. He wants to know your shoe size and all the weird shit in your brain. He's gonna wash it away with blood. Every night when he doesn't come, Mary, steal the car, drive it off the car. I could pray, I could beg you to stay, but I won't. Tell him what you like. He wants to know your dark side and all the weird shit in your brain. He's gonna wash it away with blood, but he'll break your heart every night when he doesn't come.
There you go.
Yeah, he's channeling his inner Ben Folds there.
Yeah, I guess there was a little bit of that. I never listened to Ben Folds that much. Maybe if I like piano ballads, maybe I should listen to some more Ben Folds.
Yeah, I really liked him in, when was that? Like, I don't know, the 97 or something, when he was at his peak.
Wonder what he's been doing lately.
Well, when I know that he's toured. He's been to Madison a few times, and probably a couple of times within the last 5 years. And the show is always packed with people like our age, because, you know, so let's say he was biggest 15 years ago.
Yeah.
That's about the time when a lot of people hear the last of the cool new music that they like.
Yeah.
And then that really sticks with them. So
yeah,
there's a lot of moms and dads at those shows. But
well, we can't criticize that, right?
No.
Yeah.
No.
All right. Margo and the Nuclear So-and-Sos. In spite of their name, they are a band worth checking out. So, yeah. So, well, I think we've covered it for the week, haven't we?
Yeah. Should we talk about the Brewers real quick? They're not doing very well.
No, they're not.
So let's stop there. Ramos Ramirez needs to get his butt in gear.
Yeah, I think a lot of them need to get their butts in gear. So,
yeah.
Yeah. Well, as you were saying earlier, before we went on the air, it's a long season.
It is.
So
they're like 4-6, which is fine. They're doing better than the Red Sox.
Are they really?
Yeah. Red Sox were struggling.
I remember last year the Red Sox were like 2-10 or something.
The Angels, too. Angels are off to a rough start.
Huh.
Pujols. So
for those like $200 million or whatever they spent, he's not producing right now?
Obviously, they wish they could undo that.
I mean, he should hit like he should hit 2 home runs a game for that price,
yeah,
right?
Totally.
Wouldn't that be great if somebody hit 2 home runs a game? They'd have 324 home runs.
Yeah, that'd be pretty good. That'd be the record by a factor of 5.
Yeah, be good. He'd just be hit like one a game.
Like
you know,
in June, you'd have the you'd be passing Barry Bonds.
Yeah. Just hit one a game, you'd have 162 home runs.
Yeah, that wouldn't be too bad either.
Somebody should do that, don't you think?
Yeah.
You know without what? Taking steroids.
Well, you know what I think? They all try. They all do
try. And they even though they get paid all that money, they still can't even hit the ball. They
Corey Hart was on a pace almost to do that.
Yeah, first couple
red
games.
Hot.
Yeah. Yeah.
But
okay. Well, This we're gonna lose the listeners if we start talking baseball, right?
Well,
we ran out of music though, right? So we had to say something else, right?
Yeah.
So, all right, let's turn the page. Here we go. On another podcast.
All right.
And I haven't even kept track of how many we're up to now. What do we have? Like 100 and something, right?
Yeah, 115.
Yeah,
20.
All right. Thanks for listening, everybody. Let's sign off. We will be back again next week with another edition of Will's Band of the Week. Good night.
Good night.